Mr. Apocalypse is coming. His horizon into view, just like the sun. He's bringing living truth and bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. It might be the very thing you've been longing for. Very last thing on your mind. It could be something that you sent on ahead of you. Or it could be something you left behind.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Less Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let us take a trip inside his head, mind, and soul and listen to this week's comments from Less Visible.
Greetings and salutations, my dear friends, and welcome to Dog Poet Transmitting and the Saucer Pod. Greetings from the Arcturian Brotherhood and the Sirius Cluster. Greetings from all your invisible friends, becoming ever more visible in the incremental uncovering of the apocalypse. Greetings from the centers of light within and without you. May the radiance of the ineffable shine forth from you and upon each living thing, as all of the obstructions of the personal self are washed away by the unstoppable force of the Avatar, who is love redefined within our awareness in the passing from the Piscean to the Aquarian Age, and who timelessly resides beyond everything as it does within it all. May we be consciously engaged in the theme of universal brotherhood, which is the signature state of the coming age. To the degree that we are in submission to the imperative of change within, so shall we come to reflect and represent this. In our last transmission, we made certain statements about the Holocaust, international guilt, and blackmail scam that has been perpetrated upon us for the profit of those milking the fabrication. Then we followed up with the smoking mirrors that contained irrefutable and inarguable facts concerning the truth of the nature of this stupendous lie. We provided documentation about the statistics listed in the Jewish World Almanac, whereby the population of this people actually increased over the years of World War II. This speaks to the impossibility of all those alleged murders that never occurred. The numbers don't lie. Then there was the official Red Cross document that stated the deaths at Auschwitz totaled under 300,000, and those due largely to the presence of typhus. Then there was the original claim of 4.5 million killed there, which was reduced to 1.1 million, and yet they still have 6 million. Anyone objecting to what I have stated and backed up with evidence is merely projecting what they want to believe is true, thereby evading what is true. The world in general is a lie. We're told that Afghanistan was invaded due to the outrageous propaganda that one bin Laden was responsible for 9/11 instead of Israel, who, in a cabal of satanic associates, truly orchestrated the event. The reason we invaded Afghanistan was in order to resurrect the opium industry at the behest of the pharmaceutical mafia, and in what seemed no time at all, the flow of opium and heroin became greater than it has ever been before. Lies pile upon lies, and they are the real currency of this world. Recognizing this puts one in an oppositional counterpoint to the masters of deceit. For some reason, a very large portion of the populations believe that they cannot survive unless they make a compromise with the industry of lies. Somehow they believe that lies have a force equal to that of the truth, and that flies in the face of everything sane and reasonable. It is as if to say that the darkness is greater than the light, when a single candle will drive the darkness away with no effort at all. It is one of the unshakable laws of physics, and those who argue against this only reveal themselves to be fools. It is similar to the Nimrods who insist that the world is flat, or the ignorant declaration that the sun revolves around the earth, which is what the Pope tortured Galileo over. We could come up with example after example of idiocies of a like kind. The planet and human consciousness are overrun by an epidemic of crazy and preposterous lies, and this is one of the greatest certainties of proof that sane has left the building. Large collectives of people have agreed to abdicate their common sense in favor of a belief in what cannot possibly be. Everything comes out of the mind in order to manifest in the material realm, and the subjugation of one's honor and integrity to forces which possess neither. It does result in the loss of everything of any real importance and all of the things that make life worth living in the first place. We could delineate how this came to pass, but that's less important than the fact that it has come to pass. How one got lost is of far less importance than getting unlost. Errors are made every day, and sometimes they are compounded to the point that one is deep in the forest of their own confusion, off the path, and by nature of the condition, walking in circles. Finding one's way out of this environment, where every tree is a mistake that grew up because it was watered and fed out of the illusion that it existed in the first place, is of primary importance. We have convinced ourselves that it is safer to hide in the dark. The truth is that that which presents the greatest danger to us dwells in the dark, if only in the darkness of the mind. The predators hunt at night and in the dark. The darkness conceals and hides a multitude of sins, and it is the preference of those performing what is toxic and twisted to do so in the dark. Jesus has told us to walk in the light. We have been told not to hide our light under a bushel. We have been told that the light within will light our way without. Luminous intelligence is like a miner's headlamp. It shines out of the inner being and illuminates all that exists before it. The interesting thing with the senses, which automatically lie because of bandwidth limitations, can be best illustrated by the fact that we don't see outside. Everything we see is actually seen inside our heads and not outside. It's like a projection appearing to be the film on the screen, but the screen is the mind. We don't hear outside. We hear inside. The senses are very interesting, if only for the natural deception of the real location of perception. One can include the limbic system in this regard, where the emotions are experienced in the mind and not in the heart, but somehow it seems like you feel it there in the anahata chakra. If one pays careful attention and is unswerving in the questions asked and the results sought, one finds that the reason that appearances lie is because they are misperceived by the mediums of perception. Most people do not know that learning to walk is one of our greatest accomplishments as a child. Because in the beginning, we see things upside down, similar to the way cameras work, or used to work. I know so little about it that I don't even know if this has changed, but that doesn't matter. In the beginning, a child sees things upside down, and in the process of standing up and walking, the whole means rights itself. From this, one can postulate that there are all kinds of circumstances outside the periphery of our understanding, where it all works different than we think it does. I probably said this before, but the devil card in the tarot, which is number 15, is personified by the hijacked Chaldean letter Ayin, which got grafted into a Hebrew alphabet by those for whom hijacking is an art form, and Ayin means the eye. It is the eye that wrongly perceives what it thinks it sees. From this, one can infer that the devil, insofar as it exists in any way, is the eye because it sees wrong. What we see is interpreted according to what we want, and desire clouds our vision. Furthermore, I believe I will say that desire is the agent of God's will. This means that even when we are deceived, that God is involved in the process, and his will is that we shall be led through experiences that are both painful and confusing to a state of clarity. Finally, we devoutly wish, as the samskaras of samskara, as the scarves of samskara are burned away, and we are no longer looking through veils or through a glass darkly. Sometimes it is all so simple for me. I find myself saying, yes, of course, this is what is true. In times like that, I put my hand on my own shoulder and say, brother, who is myself, take nothing you think you see for granted. It almost never is what you think it is. Truth lies forever beyond the boundaries of the senses. For this same reason, the truth cannot be spoken, and if it could, it still would not be understood by the one hearing the words, because the one hearing has their own necessities of comprehension that are based on justifying the confirmation of the rightness of their desire. It is, and it is not. At the same time, regardless of the appearance of certainty, nothing is certain except what is viscerally resonant through the intuition. In that place, the answers are given in a place where there are no words and never will be. There is only this certitude of recognition. It is an absolute in this place where wisdom and understanding both take the light of higher awareness through the lens of what they represent, and which is always representative through the living light of the ineffable. Because wherever the light of the ineffable falls, it illuminates in its essence whatever it is that the light falls upon. The Hindu scriptures explain this as clearly as it ever can be explained, and it is out of this ancient tradition that all of the other faiths emerge within their singularity that is designed to explicate the particular needs of the cultures in which they appear. As has been stated here many times, the white light enters the prism out of which the manifest world gains its presence and identity, and creates the seven rays that express all the differentials that account for the personalized quasi-realities that sum up the illusion of what we imagine we are, once blindness becomes our vehicle of sight. It's all a lie driven by the deep hunger for what is beyond our ability to define. We think we know, but we do not know. We see through the colored lens that which presents itself in a given form for the purpose of demonstration. This demonstration is contained in the envelope of its color, and the limitations of that are the parameters of the stage upon which our dream dance makes its case for the lesson being experienced in whatever permutation of sequences happen in the process of tearing away or wearing away the veils that blind us from the brilliance of the white light from which each of these variants emerge. This might sound pretty or elegant or cumbersome and lumbering in its drunken passage towards something I can only guess at. My brothers and sisters, friends and resonant acquaintances, it is what it is, and it is not what it is not. Simultaneously at all times, across the endless reach of time, and which cannot be understood in its essence except outside of the environment it seeks to display itself in, and that is why it is a movie or a dream or whatever you want to call it. It binds us and it frees us, it enlightens us and deceives us for its own reasons, and does not have to explain itself, but it can if it chooses. And there is the critical truth that is inescapable. We are as we are by the grace of God, and we cannot know ourselves or anything else unless the Lord of all things wishes us to know, and we cannot know until we are profoundly aware that we do not know. If we know, then we inhibit within ourselves God's ability to know within us. If we do not know, then we free the divine so that the divine might know within us. We simply have to get out of the way. Once we have managed the surrender of unknowing, then real knowledge is at hand. It is comical. It is absurd. It is ridiculous. And only when one has gone irrevocably mad can one approach that which is and always will be beyond our capacity to comprehend. This is why the truly wise are so utterly humble and so often silent, at least in the material sense. How can anyone take themselves seriously before the light and power of the sun, from which all life comes forth, and without which there is no life nor light on this plane, and that is the physical sun. The physical sun is the manifest expression of a spiritual sun that lies behind all phenomena, and which, merely by thinking it, brings all things into being. How can you not love the ineffable with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul? Once this understanding has dawned upon you, the same way dawns upon the world we move through. Let there be light. We are all frozen sunlight, sunlight in extension, at least in whatever temporary form we might find ourselves at any time. I would love to go on and on about this, my friends, and I believe at the moment I could, but we have come to the end of another broadcast, and I will see you next week, if there is one. In the moments between now and then, and which is also an illusion, may the unfathomable and inexplicable love of the Almighty drench and immerse you in the vast ocean of its love that surrounds us on all sides. God is real, and if you get this, then you are real too. That said, hail Lord Jesus Christ. Greetings, my good friend Lord Ganesh. Much love, Lady Nature. Om Amitabha. La ilaha il alahu. Hare Krishna. Carry on, Baha'u'llah. Aloha and Aru. Sorry about the lame Aru's this evening, my friends. Be well.
He's long and tall and slender, and he's got a walking stick. You'll be changed forever if you get hit by it. He's coming for the Zionists and all their bankers too. And if you don't behave yourself, he's coming after you. There's no way to stop him. He can't be bribed or bought. And he's sweeter than the air in spring, and meaner than you thought. You're the deer inside his headlights, if you're the kind that hunts by night. And no one stays anonymous when they get you in his sights. Mr. Apocalypse is coming, oh yeah. He's rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing living truth, he's bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.